If you're watching this sermon for the first time online, I usually don't have a waterfall coming out of the baptistry behind me, but today is VBS. And so thank you, Miss Nancy, for all your hard work. It looks great. Let's pray. Christ, our hope in life and death. Father, we praise you that we have the hope of the gospel. I pray that this morning, as we look at the book of 3 John, that you would help us think through how we can take this gospel faithfully to the nations. Give me grace as I preach, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 3 John. 3 John, verses 1 through 8. If you don't have a Bible of your own, we'd invite you to take the Bible and the seat rack in front of you. You can take that as a gift from our church to read and to cherish. What does it look like for you to be faithfully committed to missions? To play a part in taking the gospel across geographical barriers, to plant and to strengthen churches for the sake of Jesus' name and making it known. Is this commitment to missions only for the young, zealous Christian that wears chacos and has water bottles with stickers on them, has a sense of adventure and world travel? I have stickers on my water bottle, by the way. Or is this commitment for any Christian, despite age or style choice, that is walking in the truth? I'm going to argue that the latter is the case from the book of 3 John today, with my main point being faithfully send and support gospel workers for the sake of Jesus' name. Faithfully send and support gospel workers for the sake of Jesus' name. I'll preach verses 1 through 8 today, and the next opportunity that I have to preach, we'll finish the remaining verses. But now would you join me as we read 3 John 1 through 8 together. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Faithfully send and support gospel workers for the sake of Jesus' name. In order to do this, we must, one, walk in the truth of the gospel. We'll see that in verses 1 through 4. And two, work for the truth of the gospel. We'll see that in verses 5 through 8. First, walk in the truth of the gospel. This is a letter written by the elder whom we recognize as the Apostle John, late in his ministry, to a man named Gaius. We don't know much about Gaius. There are at least three Gaiuses referred to in the New Testament. Gaius was a common name. But there's a few things that we do know from the text. Gaius is loved by John. Gaius was likely a church leader that missionaries would stop and visit on their journeys. He cared for those missionaries well, and most clearly, Gaius was a Christian walking in the truth of the gospel. You see, in order to faithfully send and support gospel workers for the sake of Jesus' name, one has to first be walking in the truth of the gospel themselves. The word truth is used here four times in the first four verses, five times in the text as a whole. And it's evident that when John refers to truth, he's referring to the truth of the gospel. We see it there in verse 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. John loves Gaius, and the motivation behind that love and his friendship is the gospel that they share. Once again, a reminder that the gospel unifies us in our friendship. It could be another example that we could have used in our Proverbs sermon on friendship. If you're visiting with us this morning and you're exploring Christianity, Here is what John is referring to when he uses the word truth. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so when you hear Christians talk about the truth, we're referring to what's called the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is this: our sin separates us from God. And there's nothing in and of ourselves that we can do to fix that. Therefore, we have a sin problem and we have a separation from God problem. But God has made a way through the perfect life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sin problem at the cross, so that upon repentance and faith, forsaking our sin and turning to Jesus as the only way for our sin to be paid for, we could be brought back into relationship with God and find eternal joy and satisfaction in him. We'd invite you to place your trust in Jesus today for the first time, if that's you. Church family, this truth of the gospel is also for you, though. Twice here, John refers to walking in the truth. We see that in verse 3 and once in verse 4 as well. But he sets these up with a prayer in verse 2. So let's look at verse 2. Here we see a model of how to pray for a fellow Christian. John prays that things would go well for Gaius, that he would be in good health, which is not wrong to pray for. We're praying now for fellow members of our church that are dealing with real health difficulties. Our missionary partners will often send us prayer requests that have to do with sicknesses of their children or themselves. And so we should pray for the good health of fellow Christians, as this health would allow them to continue in the gospel work that they're doing. But John's prayer doesn't just stop with physical health. He prays that Gaius would be in good health as it goes well with his soul, we see there in verse 2. John cares about Gaius' physical health, but most importantly, John cares for Gaius' spiritual health, whether or not he's walking in the truth of the gospel. He makes that crystal clear in verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John cares about Gaius' soul deeply. He cares about the way that he's walking. He cares about the way that he's living. The language of walking that we see here makes it clear that the Christian life is actively trusting in the truth. Hebrews talks about running the race that is set before us, referring to the Christian life. But another image that we see throughout Scripture is this image of walking. We walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. We walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. And we walk in the truth, 3 John. It's a steady, day-by-day walk that combines both belief in Jesus and obedience to the things that he commands. Church family, are you walking in the truth? Are you waking up and saying, I'm trusting in Jesus today. Lord, give me strength to keep walking. If I can use John's word here, beloved, keep walking. Beloved, keep gaining ground. The truth of the gospel is worth it. Keep going. John looks at Gaius walking in the truth, and it brings him joy. And not just joy, but it says that it brings him no greater joy. There's no greater joy than a fellow brother in Christ whom he just heard news is still going, still trusting in the truth. And as we'll see in just a moment, still participating in gospel work. John is saying that there is nothing else that would bring him more joy than to hear that things are going well with Gaius and his soul. Do you feel this way about other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you rejoice when you hear that they're walking in the truth? So many faces were coming to mind as I was preparing this part of the sermon this week. Cancer diagnoses, and you're still walking in the truth. unable to find a job, and you're still walking in the truth. Heartbreaking news this week, and you're still walking in the truth. Exhausted from keeping up with things around the house, you're still walking in the truth. Chronic pain, difficult work environment. We could go on and on and on, but as we see one another walking in the truth, church family, this should bring us no greater joy. I can honestly say that as one of your pastors, it brings me joy when I hear that you're still going, that you're still trusting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Enduring suffering, stiff-arming the things of the world, continuing to walk in the truth. In order to be a faithful supporter of gospel workers, we must first be a faithful walker. And it's walking in the truth of the gospel that motivates us to then be a faithful sender, a faithful supporter, zealous to see others walking in the same truth that we are by God's grace. Brother and sister, walking in the truth, keep going. You're on the winning team. The kingdom is advancing, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, God's sending and supporting agency. And as I heard a pastor say at the Acme conference last month, gates don't play offense. Gates play defense. The truth of the gospel is advancing, so let's walk because we're winning, church family. Trusting that Jesus has won, giving us confidence as we seek to be obedient to the Great Commission individually and as a church in our faithful support and sending of gospel workers. Which leads to point number two. This walking leads us to work for the truth of the gospel. We see that in verses 5-8. Work for the truth of the gospel. Once again, John calls Gaius beloved. But this time, rather than encouraging him to keep going in how he walks and lives as a Christian, John is encouraging him to keep going in how he faithfully supports missionaries, sent gospel workers that come to visit. Gaius' belief in the truth of the gospel is directly tied to his love for others. This is where his theology meets practice. His love for the gospel causes him to be hospitable to the gospel workers that come to town. John tells him in verse 5, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." Doesn't matter if he knows them or not. Because they're on a gospel mission, he is showing them hospitality and he's showing them love in ways that would cause them to come back to their church and to say, "Wow, Gaius really did care for us. Gaius really was walking in the truth." In the way that a faithful encourager does, John acknowledges the ways that Gaius has already faithfully done this, and then he encourages him to keep doing it. We see that in verse 6. He says, "You will do well to send them on their journey." You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. And so Gaius has been a faithful worker in his efforts and will do well if he continues in those efforts. Church family, some of you are already thinking biblically about how to be faithful senders and faithful supporters of missionaries and gospel work through prayer, financial support, hospitality, encouragement. And like John tells Gaius, I want to tell you, this is a faithful thing to do. And so keep going, keep doing that. For others of you, this may be a new category, and I pray that as we make our way through this sermon, that you would begin to think through how you can be a faithful supporter and a faithful sender, especially verse 8. See how you ought to do this. We'll look at that verse later. One note on prayer as a part of this work. Maybe you can't give financially in this season as much as you would like to, but you can pray. Prayer is no small thing when it comes to gospel work. You can be a faithful sender and faithful supporter by faithfully praying. J.C. Ryle said that prayer is the mightiest engine that God has placed in our hands. And so join with countless Christians around the world to pray for the gospel to advance. The best illustration that I can think of for verses 5 and 6 is our very own G family. Most of you know who they are, but if you don't, the G family are faithful members of our church currently who, Lord willing, will be sending back out to Africa. They're planting a church amongst a tribe that doesn't have the gospel. In fact, they don't have a Bible in their language, and there is no church. And so, Lord willing, we'll be sending them out for the sake of the name. In many ways, I feel like our church is learning on the fly how to care for you. We do love you, and we do want to care for you. But we're learning on the fly, and I pray that as we grow, we'll be able to display the kind of hospitality to you all and to others in the future displayed here in 3 John. I'm sure that there are ways our hospitality has been clunky at times, and I know I'm learning about ways that I could be a more faithful supporter, a more faithful sender. But I do pray that we would be able to resend you, Lord willing, on your journey in a manner worthy of God. Before I make further applications to the G family, I want to look a little deeper at verses 5 and 6. There's a few things that we learn about supporting gospel work and sending well from these verses. Number one, faithfully sending requires effort. We see that in verse 5. So this is a subpoint of point number 2. Faithful sending requires effort. Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers. Gaius is intentionally making effort to receive these missionaries that are traveling through on their gospel journey. Missionary support is a front burner issue. It should be for our church that collectively as a body, we should be making great efforts towards. John said, is this a faithful thing? It proves Gaius is full of faith in the intentional care that he's giving to these missionaries. For us to be faithful senders and supporters, it's going to take effort. It may be uncomfortable. It may require sacrifice. Regularly praying for missionaries and unreached people groups takes intentionality. Giving generously to missions may require financial planning and sacrificial decisions. But all of this is worth it because the Bible says that it's a faithful thing to do. Another thing that we learn from verse 5 is that faithful sending includes supporting strangers. Faithful sending includes supporting strangers. We see that there in verse 5, strangers as they are. John makes it clear that Gaius is showing this hospitality despite not having much of a relationship with these gospel workers that are traveling through. But Gaius can confidently support them because they share the most important thing. They're walking in the truth of the gospel together. I think an illustration that closely is tied with this language of strangers here in verse 5 is our partnership with Acme Fellowship. This past year, Acme Fellowship granted $800,000 to 43 projects. And we can genuinely say that these grant recipients are strangers to us in many ways. But by God's grace, we've been able to play a small part in the gospel work that's taking place around the world. While we were at the Acme conference just a month ago, one of the grant recipients expressed this reality of being a stranger when he introduced himself and thanked everyone for the grant. He stood up and he said, "I am Diego Oliveira. I serve as a pastor at the First Baptist Church of Lisbon. Lisbon is in Portugal, and Portugal is in Europe." Not many of us knew where Portugal was. This is a funny reality because we were rejoicing alongside this brother that we didn't even know. He was a stranger to us in many ways. And yet as a fellowship of churches, we were able to support the faithful gospel work that he and others are doing there. Faithful sending includes supporting strangers at times. Third, we see in verse 6 that faithful sending provides needs for the journey. Faithful sending provides needs for the journey. Look at verse 6. who testified to your love before the church, you would do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. John says that Gaius would do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. He should take advantage of every opportunity to send well. Sending these workers on their journey would likely have included both physical and spiritual needs. Imagine the workers coming back to the church that John was pastoring. And when the church gathered, these workers stood up and gave testimony to Gaius' hospitality before the church. There was a godly man named Gaius. He was walking in the truth, and he showed love to us. Maybe it went something like this. At the right time on our journey, the Lord providentially allowed us to come across Gaius. When we arrived, he fed us. He gave us a place to stay. He sat down with us to see how we were doing spiritually. He encouraged us. He prayed for us. We shared stories about what God was doing in our church, and he shared stories of what God was doing in his. And then as we left, he sent us with plenty of water, plenty of food, plenty of money, so that we could keep taking the gospel to places where Jesus has not been named. What a testimony that would have been to hear what they shared with the church when they came back. Faithful sending and supporting provides needs for the journey. And for many of you, this is the most faithful way that you can be involved in missions. It may not be you or your family that are the ones that have gone out for the sake of the name, but you can sacrificially give so that others can. You can sacrificially provide needs for the journey. Back to the G family, Lord willing, we will be resending them out for the sake of the name. And so let's be absolutely sure that we are sending them out in a manner worthy of God through our prayers, through our spiritual care, through our check-ins, through our encouragement, through our financial generosity. Why? Because they're going out for the sake of the name. They're compelled to go to Africa because of Jesus. Verse 7, we read that these workers have gone out for the sake of the name. This phrase, for the sake of the name, reminds me of Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And I wonder if John may have been recalling this account when he writes this verse, because Peter and John were standing there before the high priest, if you remember. He's mad about them healing a crippled man, and then he asks this question. He says, by what power or by what name did you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, has a powerful answer. Here's what he says, starting in verse 8, rulers of the peoples and elders, for being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way that one can be saved, and so there is no question as to what name John is referring to here in the text. These workers have gone out for the sake of Jesus' name and making him known. There are people that are dying and going to hell that have never heard the name of Jesus. And so we must go out for the sake of the name, and we must support those that do. In a room this size, once again, I imagine that there are some of you who aren't trusting in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And so I'm inviting you again, turn from your sins, repent of your sins, and trust in Jesus today to save you. For the sake of the name. I love that language. The G family has gone out for the sake of the name. They're going where Jesus hasn't been named. And so, of course, why wouldn't we get behind this sort of work? In verse 7, we also see that those who have gone out for the sake of the name have accepted nothing from the Gentiles. These aren't ordinary traveling orators. They're not ordinary traveling teachers of the time. The traveling teachers of the time would have collected money on their journey after they teach. Not these missionaries, though. They didn't want money from Gentile unbelievers. Not to mention, why would unbelievers support this kind of work anyways? It's foolish to the world when we invest in kingdom work like this. Church family, but we must do what unbelievers will not do. Make an eternal investment in gospel work. There's so many ways that we can make bad investments. Investing in missions isn't one of them. It's not wrong to get behind humanitarian need and other charitable efforts. I think that we can do that in a way that's honoring to the Lord, absolutely. But the Bible tells us of specific work that we ought to get behind. We ought to get behind work that is about taking the gospel to unreached and underserved people. That leads us to verse 8. Look at verse 8 with me there in 3 John. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. This is where the main point of the sermon comes from, here in verse 8. We faithfully send and support gospel workers for the sake of Jesus' name. This is just what we do as Christians. And when we do it, we're fellow workers for the truth with them. We are charging the gates of hell with the G family when we support them well. As they go and we support, we are fellow workers with them, alongside them in the truth. To apply the famous quote by missionary William Carey, when the G family or Sam Wilkins or, Lord willing, others from among us go out for the sake of the name, when they go down into the pit, we're going to hold the rope for them. Here from Greer, South Carolina, we can be fellow workers for the truth in Africa, Scotland, and wherever else the Lord chooses to send workers from among us. And here's one distinctive about a church that's committed to sending and supporting its workers. We shouldn't be surprised when God raises up people from within us to go out for the sake of the name. That shouldn't surprise us. We should expect, Lord willing, for God to raise up some of our most faithful members who would one day go to a hard-to-reach place for the sake of the name. This is what God does. He equips churches like ours to send out and to support workers for the sake of the name. And so if a member of our church would come and express a desire to go to the nations, which I expect will happen in the future, Lord willing, then after a long road of affirmation and preparation, we would send them and we'd support them in a manner worthy of God. And we should all get behind that. And each report that we get that says that that worker is continuing to walk in the truth, that should bring us no greater joy. Not all of us are going to be the ones that go. There are many factors that play into that. Desire may be one of them. You may not desire to be sent out from our church, and that's okay. But 3 John is clear about one thing. We ought to support. We ought to support people like these. You notice that verse 8 is a strong exhortation, don't you? To keep missions at the front of our minds. And the motivation is that when we support gospel workers, we're fellowshipping with them. We're sharing with them in their gospel work. Church family, you're not just a supporter. You're a co-laborer with them in the gospel. You're playing a part in taking the gospel to places like Africa, Scotland, and so on. This is no small thing. You are a fellow worker for the truth. And so I ask again, what does it look like for you to be faithfully committed to missions? those that love the truth of the gospel and walk in it, also work for the truth of the gospel. And it may be that some of you work by going. And if you are one of those that is praying through a desire to go to the mission field, the elders would love to talk to you about that and help you think through that. But for most of us, it's going to look like this. Faithfully sending and supporting gospel workers for the sake of Jesus' name, very simply. Would you pray about, would you consider all the ways that you can more faithfully do this? And so walk in the truth as you work for the truth, church family, remembering that it's all for the sake of Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters in Christ here would continue to walk in the truth, that they would continue to forsake sin, that they would continue to fight against sin, that they would continue to believe the gospel, and that they would also continue to support gospel work around the world. Lord, help us to be a faithful sending church, one that supports well and is faithfully committed to the Great Commission. It's in Jesus' name, amen.